Okay, moving right along in the Lord's Prayer, we are now going to discuss the past.
Yeah.
The next phrase is verse 12, and it says, "And forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us." This is where it kind of gets heavy.
Yeah. This one is heavy.
Yeah. So we'll just acknowledge that up
front. We know.
We know
this is hard.
And we're feeling it too.
Yeah.
But I think that this is so pivotal. And if we really want to advance and make gains spiritually, we need to sit here a little bit, and we need to talk about sin, and we need to talk about forgiveness, and we need to really get a grasp on who we are.
And I think that the weight that we're feeling and the weight that you may feel during this is important to recognize. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's good.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to let it be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. So in this phrase, we are asking God's forgiveness to cover our past.
Right.
To cover the things that we have already done. So when we pray this, we're looking backwards, and we're saying, God, I have not lived perfectly in your will. I have not perfectly sought your kingdom. I have not relied on you to provide my every need. I have not kept your name holy. I need forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we recognize this, we have to come to terms that I am not just a person who occasionally commits sins.
Yeah.
I am a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't like that.
No, we like to think that we are good and worthy and deserving.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not.
Mm-hmm. And if we look at social media, we can see all of these things that tell us that that's who we are.
Yeah. And the world right now, just, we've talked about this in another session, but like, it's all about you, and you deserve what you want, and you deserve the best and all the things. But it's like, it's all because of who you are, and you are good, and you are noble. And it's really a false belief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's a teaching for another day. Is resting in who we are in Christ.
Right.
And who our identity is in Christ.
Yeah.
The identity that he gives us. There is truth in that.
Mm-hmm.
But we cannot come to that place of our identity in Christ until we come face to face with our depravity and really sit in it and recognize who we are. When we recognize that I do not deserve any of that.
Mm-hmm.
I do not deserve to be called chosen. I do not deserve to be called his child. I do not deserve forgiveness. But we think we do. We think we deserve it. We think that
we think it's our right.
Right. We are very entitled people. And so that's what we think. And so this is going to feel maybe a little teachy for a few minutes, and I'm sorry, but I'm not.
Sorry, not sorry.
Sorry, not sorry. Because this is just a deep burden on my heart, and it's been a burden on my heart for many years, and many of you have heard me talk about sin before and what sin is. But I think that we fail to recognize our sinfulness. And because we fail to recognize our sinfulness, we fail to recognize God's holiness. We fail to recognize
the gift
that we have been given,
mm-hmm.
and the tremendous grace and mercy that have been shown to us. If we don't recognize how awful we are, we don't recognize what a gracious gift forgiveness is.
And I think this is a hard topic to talk about because people don't like to hear it. Mm-hmm. It scares people away. Mm-hmm. But our prayer is that you don't get scared, but sit in it, mm-hmm. and then understand those things that you just said, the holiness of God, the right. grace, the goodness. So yeah, let's start. Let's just go.
Yep.
Let's talk about sin.
We're going to talk about this. So there are five, in the New Testament, five different Greek words that are used that are translated sin. So in our translations, we're usually only going to see the word sin, but mm-hmm. they have five different words and they have five slightly different meanings. And so we're going to just work our way through them kind of quickly, but to just help us to understand what sin actually is.
Yeah, have a right view of it.
Right. So the first one is hamartia, which is what many of us have heard before, is this phrase of missing the mark, right? So we've
probably heard it from Karen.
Right. You've probably heard that from me. You've probably heard it from somebody else, yeah. right? And we've talked about the bullseye. Mm-hmm. And anytime that our arrow is not hitting the center, we are missing the mark. We're not quite getting it. And so we've heard pastors preach on this, but this is the failure to be what we could have been or what we should have been.
And that feels so heavy, that line. The failure to be what we could have been or should have been, mm-hmm. falling short.
Right, right. Missing the mark. So none of us is. We're never going to be. But when we consider that God has a plan for us, right? At New Life, we say, come and become, right? Mm-hmm. Come as you are and become who God created you to be. God created us to become someone, to do something for his kingdom. All of us mm-hmm. have a calling on our lives. And then all of us are going to fall short of that. Yeah. All of us are going to miss the mark. I'm not going to be as good of a mom as I have the capacity to be. I'm not going to be as good of a friend as I have the capacity to be, as what God has put within me and as what God can enable me to be. So every time that we are living shy of, under, missing that mark, we are sinning. And this one right here, I think, is enough to send most of us just reeling.
Right. Yeah. It makes my chest tight. To right. think about, well, I just think about, like you said, I'm not the mom I need to be every day. I'm not the friend or like that I could be or should be. Mm-hmm. And it's literally daily that I miss the mark.
Right. Right. Not to mention the disciple of Jesus. Yeah. We could be or should be. Right. So every day and in so many moments, we're going to miss the mark. We're just not going to hit it. And that is difficult.
Yes.
That is really difficult for us to grasp. It's difficult for us. Some of us are strivers, some of us are perfectionists. And so to know that I'm going to keep missing it makes us want to strive more and try harder and do it on our own strength. And that's not what we're.
That's what I was going to say. You have to stay listening to the second part because mm-hmm. I am a perfectionist and a striver. And if I stayed here, where I would end up. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So don't get stuck here. But there's the other piece that there's some of us who just say, well, I'm never going to make the mark. So why would I even try? Mm. And then we're just choosing to live this life of sin also.
Yeah.
So either way, like we have to understand, like this is just one of our five definitions of sin. But when we are missing the mark, we are living in sin and we have to recognize that me not being the wife I should be required Jesus to die.
Yeah.
Sin is weighty. Like you said, like it makes me feel heavy mm-hmm. when I consider that me not living up to what God has called me to required the sacrifice of a sinless man.
And like, if you went through Walk This Way, in section 8, they talk about it being personal. This mm-hmm. is the personal. This is personal. This is thinking of the things that you missed the mark on and thinking that's why Jesus died.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
Okay, the second one. I should have definitely asked you how to pronounce these more before we went into it, but parabasis?
Something like that. Parabasis.
Oh, that would probably be it. Okay, parabasis. Mm-hmm. And that is stepping across. Mm-hmm. Says sin is the stepping across the line which is drawn between right and wrong. So if there is a line between right and wrong, mm-hmm. so kindness versus unkindness, truth versus lying, selfishness versus unselfishness, and all of those, do you always do what is on the right side of the line? Mm-hmm. Right. I also strive here.
Yeah. Or do we step across that line? Mm-hmm. I know where the line is. I know that what I'm about to do is unkind, but I do it.
Mm-hmm.
I know what I'm called to as a Christian, but I'm going to gossip anyway. I'm going to, you know, and so it's not like this like super willful, like rebellious thing where it's like, ha God,
right.
You know, it's just I know what I'm supposed to do. I have that little tug in my spirit and yet I'm choosing to do the wrong thing.
Do you know where this is coming to mind is driving.
Mm.
There was a long time, and this is a confession, I didn't want to put a sticker on my car for New Life because I was like, I don't want to like cut someone off or like be angry. I mean, I don't like do anything super bad, but I just did not want, but that's, it's like, okay, but you're still carrying the reputation of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's that like choosing to minorly, go against what
right.
is right.
Right. Yeah. And there's a slightly more subtle, I'm going to go right to the next one, parapetoma, which is slipping across. So it says it's like the slip that you might make on an icy road, right? So it's in the heat of the moment where that unkind word slips out.
So you're like, so
it's
don't
not
mean
even
to.
That I had that moment of, oh, I shouldn't say this. I say it.
Oh, okay.
It's like, things got really tense. My kids are taking a long time. I always go back to putting their shoes on. I don't know why.
That's where my brain went. But yeah.
My kids taking a long time putting their shoes on. And then it's like, come on, Daniel. Like, we need to go now. Okay. I just slipped across the line. I did not need to talk unkindly to my child in that moment because he's doesn't have his shoes on. Like, did not warrant that response. That was unkind of me. So this is where we slip across the line. So it's even less aware, but then once we've done it, then usually we're like,
yeah, these are the ones where I really feel guilty and yucky after.
Yeah, because we're kind of unguarded in a moment. We're not living in that moment, surrendered to God. And so in our moment of being unguarded, we slip nice and we sin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The next one is anomia, which is lawlessness. So this is, it says, the sin of the man who knows the right and yet does the wrong. Mm-hmm. The sin of the man who knows the law and who breaks the law. So it's kind of like the last one I said, but bigger, right?
A little more willful.
Yeah.
It's like, I know, but I'm choosing.
But I don't care.
Right. I don't care. Yes. Yes. It's not even like, oh, I feel bad. I really shouldn't be saying this, but then I just said it. It's, I don't care. I don't even care. I'm going to trash talk somebody on Facebook and I don't care. Like, I know better. Who cares?
This feels yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know,
that revenge thing right. where it feels good and you just like, I'm going to do it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I know what God wants me to do. I'm going to live for myself.
Mm-hmm.
That's anomia.
Mm-hmm. What's the next one?
And then the fifth one is ophilema, which is a debt. And this is actually the one that's used. This is the word that's used here in forgive us our sins or forgive us our debts. You hear sometimes in this prayer. It means a failure to pay that which is due, a failure in duty. There will be no man who will ever dare to claim that he has perfectly fulfilled his duty to man and to God. And that's William Barclay's commentary on this. So this is a debt. This is where we owe something to God and we're not going to pay it back. And like I said, we see this sometimes, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are debted, you know, as we forgive our debtors or those who are indebted to us. So our sin leaves us in this state of indebtedness. The fact that we sin, the fact that we don't live up to, the fact that we miss the mark, leaves us in this state of, I owe God something. I owe him a debt and I just can't pay it back. And we're asking him to wipe our debt clean. So for those who came to Easter at the Camplex, right, when Mike was talking about Judge Judy, and if someone came in and said, I'm going to pay their bond, I'm going to pay their bail, I'm going to pay their debt, whatever it is, that's what this is kind of like. The fact that we sin, the fact that we don't live the way that God wants us to live, the fact that I am a sinner leaves me with a tremendous debt that I cannot pay. And so a sinless man had to die. God had to give his son as a sacrifice for me. Holy God, God who is so set apart and so different and so good, loved me so much that he sent his perfect, pure son to take my debt so that I don't have to live in debt forever, so that I don't have to live in death forever. And this is so hard for us to grasp when we have been in the mindset of thinking, I'm really a pretty good person. Mm-hmm. When we step back and we look at these five words here and we consider how we live, we consider, I am not good and I can't make myself good. There is no way, there is no way for me to ever be holy. There is no way for me to ever erase the things that I've done. Like Mike said about like the, well, I scratched his car in the past. You know, like there's no way for me to ever get rid of that on my own.
Right.
We are so imperfect. We are so full of sin. And then God just gives us this gift of forgiveness and says, it's yours.
And this is where I think people get confused and think it's because we deserved it. Mm-hmm. We don't. Mm-hmm. And that's why you're putting such a big emphasis on the sin. Mm-hmm. Because until we have that understanding of how deep we were buried,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes, we can't understand the gift that he was given. And it was not because of us, but is because he is holy and good and kind. And there's a lot of this that we can't teach. Mm-hmm. Like we have to rely on the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. because this is something that you can hear and not get. Mm-hmm. And if that's you, just pray for the Holy Spirit to show you the weight of the sin. Mm-hmm. That's a scary prayer, but it's good.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's jump to the prayer of tears for a minute. So the form of prayer that we're talking about here is called the prayer of tears. And when I say tears, I literally mean tears. Mm-hmm. So this is a prayer of brokenness over our sin, over our sinfulness. It is being cut to the heart of having a godly sorrow, of recognizing, like, I am so depraved. The world is so depraved. It is just literally weeping over our own sinfulness.
Yeah. So feeling that weight and that heaviness, like when I said that my chest was hurting, mm-hmm. that is the prayer of tears.
Right. It's moving us towards that. Yes. Yes. I would say that's a precursor too.
Right. Because there was no tears. Yeah.
Right.
But it's heading there. If I were to sit with it and if I were to continue to talk to God about it and ask him to show me the weight of that, I think it would, yes, lead to the prayer of tears.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Can the prayer of tears be for others? Like others that sin and even like groups? I don't know.
For sure. For sure. I mean, there are times as a pastor that I am driven to the prayer of tears because of the brokenness that I see in the world, because of the brokenness that I see in the women that I serve. You know, prayer many times. This one gets me every time, but there are many people that I love in the past few years who've gone through miscarriage. And I know that death is not part of God's plan. And I know that the premature death of an infant is not part of God's plan. It is a repercussion of life in a simple world, in a broken world of life that has gone generation after generation in sin. And when I hear of a friend who has gone through this loss, I just am so burdened and so grieved over the brokenness of this world. Knowing that it's our sin that originally caused that separation from God and that has ushered in disease and death. Like, it all ties back to our sinfulness. And so yes, absolutely, we can have tears over another's loss, over the sin that has caused that. We can have tears over a broken marriage that we see where a husband is hurting his wife, and it just can rip our heart because we see what sin is doing to our sister. And I think sometimes that form of tears is easier for us to weep over someone else and the effects of sin in their lives and how it has hurt them because we love them so much. But we want to also come to a place where God helps us to see our own sinfulness, where we can weep over our own brokenness, where we can weep over the fact that what I do breaks his heart, that what my failure to be the friend or sister or daughter or mother or wife or pastor that he wants me to be, that in any moment I slip across the line even, that breaks his heart. That might keep his will from being fulfilled in the world because I slipped. That's what we're talking about, is that we want to come to the place, and not because we want to sit here forever.
But we're more than conquerors. Like, we are victorious, and we have,
because of Jesus, because Jesus triumphed over sin, we don't have to stay here.
Right. But it's important to be here.
But we have to get to that place. Yeah. We have to let him take us to the place of brokenness, because only when I recognize my own brokenness, only when I recognize that I can't do it on my own, only when I recognize that I have hurt his beautiful, pure, holy heart, only then am I able to accept like this gift and say, oh my word, God, I don't deserve the forgiveness that you give me. I don't deserve this at all. You are holy and you are pure and you are undefiled and you are so good. And you offer this to me. And then the second phrase here says, as we forgive others. So we're saying, God, will you forgive me? In some correlation to my forgiveness of others. But it's when I recognize how much forgiveness I need that I'm able to look at you and say, Brooklyn, have my forgiveness. Like, I love you. And whatever you do against me, I'm going to offer you this forgiveness because I don't deserve the forgiveness that has been given to me. And so in some strange way the kingdom works, where it all goes hand in hand, and where I'm only able to forgive you as I receive forgiveness, and I'm only able to receive forgiveness as I extend forgiveness. They work together, and it doesn't make sense to us.
Right.
But it's all part and parcel. Like, it all goes together. I can only accept God's forgiveness to the extent that I'm willing to offer forgiveness. And I can only offer forgiveness to the extent that I have received it. And so there is a very real way in here where there is a conduit of forgiveness that is just flowing between us and from God to us, and we can stop it up.
Well, yeah, and you think about it, if you're holding grudges and bitterness and all of those things in your heart towards someone else, how do you receive forgiveness? It's like you have to remove it.
As we have forgiven, right? And so when we live in unforgiveness, we're also stopping up the flow of forgiveness into our lives. Mm-hmm. It all works together. And the only way that we will understand all of this is when we understand our need of forgiveness.
Yeah.
Because what we tend to do is think, I'm so good and I really don't need that much forgiveness. But that person over there, man, she is bad and she has hurt me and I don't deserve what she has done to me.
Mm-hmm. It's pride.
Yeah. And so we stop up this relationship by choosing to not forgive. And in doing that, we've also stopped up this relationship by saying, I can't forgive her because I'm too good. And we have failed to recognize the only one who is good is offering us forgiveness. And if we would receive it, we would give it. And so in a very real way, this prayer of tears is vital to everything we are as Christians. We have got to come face to face with our depravity. We have got to realize how sinful we are. And really, almost daily, I am not good. I do not deserve it. And yet he gives it to me. Freely, freely you have received. Freely, freely give. Like, okay, God, you give it to me freely. I have to freely give it away.
Yeah. Romans 2:4 says, don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Mm-hmm. Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sins?
He is the only one who is sinless.
Yeah.
And if he is able to offer us forgiveness, we have to be willing to offer it to others. And so our unforgiveness often will reveal that we're actually unwilling to accept his forgiveness.
Yeah.
So I think that's a place where we need to today recognize, if there is someone that I am unwilling to forgive, God, then I'm also choosing to not live forgiven, to not accept your forgiveness in some area of my life. And we need to look at both of those, right? We need to look at our debts and our debtors, and we need to accept what he's given to us and then turn it around and be willing to share it with others. This is hard.
This is hard. And there's that place you were talking about of pride, mm-hmm. of I'm just so good. Mm-hmm. And then there's this place that also is shame, mm-hmm. and unwillingness to accept forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And that is not good either. Mm-hmm. I've been in places of shame, and I had to pray and ask God to open my heart to his forgiveness, mm-hmm. because I tried doing it by myself and I couldn't. And the same with pride, though, just opening your heart. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I think this is, this is one of those things, you know, when Jesus talks about being his follower, he says, we're supposed to count the cost. We're supposed to, before we say, Jesus, I'll follow you, you know, he tells his disciples, count the cost. You wouldn't build a house without first looking at what it's going to cost you to do it. Don't come and follow me unless you first count the cost. And I think this is something that maybe we don't talk about as much as we should, and we need to. This is part of counting the cost. And I think this is a sticking point for some people. And this is where they're like, nope, I can't forgive. And when we're saying that, we're saying, I'm also choosing to live unforgiven. I'm choosing, God, not to have your gracious gift in my life. And so as we move on from this session, as we go and reflect on this, this is what I think we need to understand, is that the road in following Jesus is narrow. It's not easy. What we are being called to is hard. It's not impossible, but it is hard. It is hard. Our human nature says no way. You know, when God says, I'm asking you to forgive 70 times seven, mm-hmm. like I'm asking you, even if they keep coming at you, even if they keep doing the same thing over and over, I'm asking you to forgive the offense, forgive the sin. Mm-hmm. This is hard, and we can't do it in our own strength. We can only do it in his strength. And we can only do it as we receive his forgiveness. So as we receive that forgiveness, we become that conduit. Undo it, that then extends the forgiveness.
Right.
It's a prayer. It's not
something
that we flip on. And so as we consider this prayer of tears that we're asking you to think about, you know, as we end this session, the prayer of tears, we sometimes have to ask for it and wait on it. We have to say, God, you know, break my heart. Over my own sin.
Break my heart for what breaks yours. That's a prayer that I've been praying.
Yes.
And he does.
Yes. And then we, when we start to see it, then we confess. And I think confession is huge to opening up that conduit, to allowing grace to rush in and grace to pour out of us, is we have got to confess. We have got to bring sinfulness into the light. You cannot sail in it.
Yeah, you cannot take it to isolation.
No. It's just going to back those pipes up even further and keep you from the freedom and from the joy and from just all that God has to offer us. And so confession is a huge step here in the prayer of tears. And then we have to receive his forgiveness. We have to just like open ourselves up and say, thank you for this gift that you've given to me. Thank you, God. Like I choose to take this forgiveness that you've given to me. Wash me clean, like purify me. And then as we move out and move forward from that and from that prayer of tears, like I said, we don't sit there forever.
Right.
Then we choose to obey. Mm-hmm. So then we live differently as we go forward. So we become more aware of that, where that line is. We allow God to control us more so we don't go slipping across it. We choose not to step across it when we feel that tug from the Holy Spirit. Like, I shouldn't say this, we don't. You know, we allow him to start to change us, and we start to ask him to give us this vision for who we can become so that we start living into the potential that he has put into us. And just say, Holy Spirit, just come, like, just give me all of you so that I can live with you in every moment and live these obedient, beautiful, radiant, righteous lives.